Our next speaker is Nick Hafner, majoring in studio art, and Nick is from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Thanks, and greetings. Greetings to the class of 2012, to the families and parents and siblings that got us here, to the faculty that made sure we arrived, to the staff and help that makes this beautiful day possible for all of us. Greetings to everyone. I have to admit, when I look towards our future, I always seem to end up focused on 2012, December 21st. It feels good to be the last graduating class before a 5,000-year calendar ends, Quetzalcoatl the feathered serpent destroys the world, and we can all take a final deep breath. Or at least, it makes me less worried about getting a job. Is anyone else surprised we're here? The world was supposed to end last May, right? I didn't even register for fall classes until that got sorted out. And then I only had to wait until October to throw another party. I mean, wait for the world to end again. Now it seems we're waiting for December. So here we are, the apocalyptic graduating class. What do you say to the last graduates in the Mayan calendar? Do we have time to say everything worth saying? Last year, my junior year, we welcomed our new president, President Glassner, to Lewis and Clark. And here we are, the first class to graduate under a full year of our new president, the last class before the world ends. You had a good term, Mr. President. I was there back in the beginning, last April, for your inauguration speech, and it really stuck with me. That Bruce Springsteen is not an intrinsic part of the American identity is hard to argue against, I think. You used Thunder Road when you spoke about the future of Lewis and Clark, and if it was a Thunder Road that took me through LC, then I wonder if I should claim Born to Run for us. I think that's what we are now. We are born to run, not from, but to. As December 21st rolls towards us, we are not running out of time, but into our own. And yet, every generation is, I think, confused at this point in our lives, this point where so much depends on us, and we are no different. From tea parties, to Occupy protests, to apocalyptic predictions, and all of this in 2011 alone, we are confronted with a world that no one has ever seen before. A world in which they tell us we must be aware of the plays while we are watching them, that we live vicariously amidst someone else's story. And yet, they tell us that we are prepared for the world we are running out into, that we have suddenly reckoned a world of theories with our own style, that we are prepared for a calendar to expire. Are we prepared? Statistically, I'm not sure all of us will make good use of our zombie evacuation plans. We are about to walk down an aisle and shake some hands and be told now that it is our world we are running out into. But between abstracts and sources, between each side of academic, venerable quotation marks, we have to wonder whose words we are speaking. We are headed out of Lewis and Clark to find a new song to sing, and amidst all of this, they tell us to find our own words. That seems like the hardest part, finding our own words, when it seems that everything has already been said. From Tom Robbins to Foucault to Morrissey to Jack Kerouac to the Buddha himself, it is hard for our generation to keep from quoting someone who said it just right, someone whose words are crafted already, who adds weight and pages to our papers. From bibliographies to footnotes to references in a speech, we are constantly searching through someone else's quotes for our own words. I am, I think, supposed to tell you to go and find them. But I think they are already here. In speeches about the philosophy of the color blue, painted onto canvases 15 feet high, in lectures about logic and the zodiac, and in pages and pages and pages of senior theses about the same people who inspire us to quote them, we found our words. And we did it all on a meager 250-page print balance to boot. They tell us that the right quote will make you cool, the right meme will tell all your friends how you feel about the size of the cups and the bone. But the right words? Will our words stand up to a feathered serpent in December? I am, I think, supposed to tell you about when I found my own words as well. I'm supposed to tell you that I found them lying around in my notes from astronomy class one day. But that's not the truth. For me, behind the lens of a camera, or in the seats of the theater, while skipping class on a rainy day, and yes, under the green umbrellas of a DSA, I watched all you find your words. Those aha moments that catch themselves in office hours and flow into single paragraphs at the end of papers are more numerous and more powerful than what I could tell you about myself today. We have all had them at the bottom of a cup of coffee, like an action painting, or accidentally when explaining equations to a classmate. And now we can finally take those words for ourselves, our words. And now we get to dress up and walk down an aisle and shake some hands and not be told but reminded what we found. No longer need we step out of our writing and into someone else's quote because that space between quotation marks is our stage now. And our narratives are forever connected to where we are. Our story takes place at the door to the apocalypse. In 4 years at LC, we have known that we would leave, that our story here will end, and yet look how we have developed. We have been finding the pieces of quotes since E&D in Descartes, in writing papers, in the sharp inhale before the breaststroke, and in the nanohairs of a gecko foot. And as we make it through all of our goals and requirements and into the slow momentum of choosing our final majors and double majors, we are finding the pieces of words that resonate with us. Suddenly brimstone can be written on paper. Suddenly we can spit fire. Slowly, writing becomes less scary, and WOTSIC becomes a state of mind. Our setting, the expiration of a calendar, well, maybe we know how to address it. After all, we who are sitting here today have worked through images and books until we aren't chewing on quotes anymore because we're writing our own. Our plays go to San Francisco, to New York, to Africa. Our papers are presented in London and Greece. We have digested the narratives around us and found our own opinions and our own stories. We have words that we can claim from our own as we are sprung from Lewis and Clark and into the rest of the world, while it's still around. It's time for us to speak, time for us to be the ones hugged by quotation marks. Some of us will take these words to grad school, others back home, or across the seas, or here in the city we found them in. But our story is our own now. We run with our words, and all along, we have known we will have to use them. We have to be concise, because we don't have a lot of time until we will have to use them to seduce Quetzalcoatl into letting us stick around for another 5,000 years, right? No pressure. That's where we are. I know we found the right words at Lewis and Clark. How can't we have? Because we only have a little bit of time left to say them. Here, the last class in the final days of an expiring calendar, but more prepared to speak than we ever have been. So talk, sing, paint, write. What more can we do with the time we have? Thank you.